Good morning, everybody. Whoo, there's a sweet presence of God in this house today. Can I get a better amen? Come on, I want you to stand back up again. It's real important that you go shake somebody's hand that you've never met before and tell them they are awesome and we love them. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, quickly, quickly. Awesome. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow. Hey, where'd everybody come from, man? When I got, well, hey, I don't know where all these people came from. It's so good to see you this morning because when I got here about when time for church to start, there was only about 8 people here and y'all all showed up. And I was just worshiping at turn. I said, look, they're here. Awesome. So we're so glad you're here. Tell somebody you love them. Come on, I love you. No, don't say I love you. Say, I love you. I love you. Come on, if you can't say that, we're just going to baptize you with the love of the Lord right now. I love you. I love you. There's not anybody in this place you can't love. Amen. Amen. Whew. I got so much burning in me right now, man. As they were singing that, all I need is you, Lord. I was just like, ah, that is so rich. Yeah. Yeah. And in the middle of that, Matthew 3 came to me where Jesus said, I've got to be baptized. I got to do all that the Lord has commanded. And he was baptized. And there was these awesome words that came to him from the heavens when he came up out of the water. The Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And I just feel like somebody needs to hear today, not what the enemy has tried to tell you, but what the Holy Spirit, what our Heavenly Father is trying to tell you this morning. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hands like this, just like this. And I want you to say, like the Father sent you. And I want you to say, he's well pleased with me. He's well pleased with me. In any other voice, it's a lie. Come on, I want you to say, that's a lie. Daddy, God, Father, is well pleased with me. And he loves me with a crazy kind of love. Crazy kind of love. I was talking to someone this morning. I said, all of our life, we heard growing up in church, you do be faithful to God and he'll be faithful to you. That's not true. That's not true. The truth is, he's faithful to you when you're a knucklehead.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. He's faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him, because that's the kind of daddy he is. That's the kind of daddy he is. He doesn't have you in a headlock saying, love me or else. He's saying, I love you whatever else. I mean, how many storms have we been through, Miss Kitty? He's always been faithful. How many times when we was just thinking, man, the ship is going under, and then we heard a voice, peace be still. Oh, it's so awesome. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but when I was 4 years old, I was very sick. I had double pneumonia, and it was just really bad, and it wasn't looking good for me, honestly. And there were some other things going on with me. And they had me in one of those little oxygen tents. They don't do that anymore, but back then they put you in a, you was in a bed and they put a little tent over you. But see, there's something that my daddy always told me since I was a little bitty guy, that the Father heals us. And I was 4 years old. You know what I did, Sandy? I believed that. I believed that. And so I could tell, you know, my mom, she has no poker face. And I could tell when the doctor walked out, be like, that's not a good report. And I'd say to my mom, our pastor's name was Brother Mahan. I said, call Brother Mahan, have him come pray for me. Because God's going to heal me. I believed it. I believed it. And then we get older and we get more mature, you know, right? And then we get all this world in us and all of this stuff comes around us and all these disappointments. And the same God that healed me at 4 I questioned at 15 and 16 and later on. Because I let other voices tell me that the Father was not still well pleased with me. And that I had to earn His merit. Whew, this ain't my sermon today, but it might be. That I had to earn His merit and gain His influence for a miracle in my life. So I had to be good. And guess what? I wasn't good. I was a long way from good. There was no good thing in me. None. None. And I let the people around me, I let myself, I let the enemy, I let everybody judge my goodness. And so I was convinced that there's no good in me. No good. No good. But He was faithful. He was faithful. Come help me preach a little bit, girl. Come on. Listen. He was just like this with me. Like, this is my daughter. And you heard me say this before, but like, hey, let me tell you something. You can say anything you want to say about me. You mess with one of my kids, I'm going to lay down my Holy Ghost, and we're going to go outside. We're going to have a little come Jesus meeting. It's going to be on. Mess with one of my girls, any of the six of them. It's going to be on. You know what? That's how Father God is about us. He's like, hey, and she don't have a bad report card, but I'm using this for illustration. When we bring our bad report card, and I'm not talking about from school, I'm talking about life. We bring our bad report card home. He doesn't look at our report card and say, okay, girl, till you get it right, you ain't my kid. You better go get them grades up. You better get good. You better get on that. And when you get your grades up, when you get your grades up, then you know, guess what? You can be my girl again. That's a good word. He said, I don't care what your grades are. You're always an A for me. Yeah. Yeah. You're always first for me. I didn't leave you. I didn't forget you. I used to have this old wise man in my life. He's going to be with the Lord now. But something he said when I was just about her age, he was our Sunday school teacher, and he'd always say this. Before you prayed, He answered. Before you ask, He already knew. He was already ahead of you before you ever ask. His faithfulness is so amazing. Before you ever ask a word. He already knew. He said, you're an A. You're an A plus. And there's so many things that we're striving to do to get God's attention. I talk to people every day, every single day. And there's always this little hinge. If I didn't have this in my life, I could have more God in my life. If I didn't have this in my... Listen, my friend. He is the bridge over your if. If you only knew how much He loved you, you would just walk across that bridge. If you could only grasp what I'm saying today, healing would come in your body. Boom, just like that. I want you to think about right now in the Spirit. What would you desire of the Lord today? What would you ask of God? If this was the moment, Rachel, that you could say anything you wanted. As you stand before the King, as you stand before Him, not arrogantly bold, but humbly bold. Humbly bold because He said, come in. And you stood there before the King. And you could ask anything you wanted. What would that be right now? What? Look, I can see all of y'all just thinking. That's good. What would you say? Because see, He's already answered. He's anticipated that question. But here's the enemy. The enemy has already told us we're not good enough, and so we never ask. Your scorecard's not good enough to get that. You got too many D's. So guess what? No candy for you. No cookies tonight. No blessings upon your life. And we're not short of the blessing because of the Father's love. We're short of the blessing because of the lie of the enemy. Let me say that one more time. We're not short of the blessing because of the Father's love. We're short of the blessing because of the lie of the enemy. And I want to say right now, don't stop believing those lies. Why don't you denounce those things out of your life? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I mean, the enemy is so, really, honestly, he's stupid. Come on. Really, the enemy is stupid. If you really watch his patterns, he does the same stupid things over and over. And we're gullible. We keep falling for him. Same lie, same trick. Kind of reworked a little bit. My daddy would say, it's the same old woman in a different dress. That devil's the same old woman in a different dress. Maybe I'll say it like this so we won't get anybody's feelings hurt. The same old man in a different suit. It's the same old lie and some kind of new masquerade, but it's the same devil with the same lie doing the same thing. Hello, come on, let's wake up and say, I know a God who's bigger than all of that.
Yeah, amen.
He's crazy about me. Tori, he's crazy about you. Crazy about you. He's lost his mind over you, bro. He can't hardly wait for you to ask. He's like, oh, come on, babe. Come on. Ask me. You believe that this morning? You believe that? Do you believe that? Man. I really don't know what to do right now. I'm just feeling so much strength in this place. When she was singing, you're everything. All I need is you, God. You know what I felt like God was saying? All I want is you. You're the only thing He created in the world that gets to make a choice. The trees have to obey Him. The wind has to obey Him. The sea has to obey Him. You get a choice. So while you're saying, you're all I need, He's saying, you're all I want. He's crazy about you. Some of y'all are afraid to really grab a hold of this because you've had this looming thing over your head. If I say I'm crazy about Him, it's going to require something of me I can't produce. Listen, God never calls you or requires anything of you He doesn't give you the grace to do. If I say yes to God, it's going to stretch me. Only if it's His grace to stretch you.
Can I just say a few more things about this? He did not say to all the disciples to come. He only told Peter, come. There was a connection there. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, I have a desire. If that's you, Lord, bid me come. And then he said, Peter, come on. Peter, come on. Peter steps out of the boat. He begins to walk on the unbelievable. On water. On the unbelievable. While the others watched. Now, I'm not criticizing the others because they wasn't told to come. But there was when Peter initiated. Oh, this is good right here. When Peter initiated the desire to be closer to the Lord said, I'll give you the grace to do what you can't do in the natural. When you say, God, I want to be with you, he's going to say, come on, I'm going to give you the grace to do what you can't do in the natural. I'm going to give you the ability to walk in places that you can't walk. I'm going to give you the ability to do things you can't do. I'm going to give you the ability to change the world around you because you said, Lord, I want to be where you are. And he heard your heart. He already had that desire. I just have to believe that the other disciples say, oh, wait a minute. We're coming too. He'd have said, well, come on, boys. I don't know who would have steered the boat because they'd all left. He's never going to call you to the places that he can't give you the grace to go. But he's never going to call you to the places you don't want to go. Am I touching on some things this morning that says God's saying, hey, just trust me. Amen. And Peter's the most rambunctious of them all. He was the most rambunctious of them all. But he had this desire to be with the Lord. I feel there's a desire in this place this morning. Man, I got a good message. I was so excited about preaching, but God just wrecked me a while ago with this I'm well pleased with you thing. Listen, I'm going to say this in the spirit right now, so don't. This is not directed at anyone. This is directed to the spirit realm, all right? So don't internalize this. But I'm saying to the spirit world, spirit of religion, you got to go. Because it's stopping us from walking in the fullness of what God wants for us. Because it's laying this old weight of guilt and shame on us that's not of God, it's of the world. Condemnation and guilt and shame is not God's heart. That's the heart of the enemy. Peace, joy, love, Holy Spirit, freedom. That's his heart. I strive so hard to live for God as a young man. I strive to live for God. I had a desire. Listen, I want to speak to that spirit right now. I had a desire to live for God. I did. In my heart, I wanted to live for God. In my heart, I desired more than anything else to serve the Lord. That was my heart. But there was always this thing. This thing that you're never good enough. That you're never going to succeed. That you're never going to live up to it because you're the wild one. Oh, let me speak to that right now. There have been things that are spoken over you that's a lie. And they've been spoken over you sometimes even by those in the house of the Lord. I denounce those things this morning. I say to those things, those are a lie. Those are not of God. Those are not truths. I told this story just a few months ago as I went back to a funeral in my hometown. I've been pastoring for, I've been ministry for 32 years now. I've been pastoring this church for 20. I went back to my hometown and went to a funeral, and the people of my past only could think about the times when I was a drug addict. Nobody asked me how the church was doing. Nobody asked me how many people were being saved. Nobody asked me how many people we were discipling. Nobody asked me any of those things, because all they could remember was the purple hair. And we let the devil speak things over us, even sometimes from the voices of those around us who should be speaking life over us. And we, and I'm not criticizing the people, I'm talking about the spirit. If you ever get your criticism on the people, then the devil's really got you in a stronghold. It's not the people, it's the spirit. And it wants to identify you with something that doesn't belong to you. It wants to bring your past forward and say, this is who you are, this is who you'll always be, and this is what you are now. And I say to that spirit, you're a lie. I got a Father who says He is well pleased with me. Not because of my perfection, but because of His love. Dude, when we get this figured out, we're going to walk on water. We go like, hey, ain't no devils coming up in my house. Out. It ain't going to be like, well, we got to call the pastor over because we got problems. No, we could be walking in the glory. Out. Get out of here. Out of my way. Get out of my car. Get out of my life. Get out of my office. Get out of my kids. Get out of my wife. Get out of my husband. Don't leave them out. Come on, let me just help you just a little bit more. When you get in a, how many of y'all are married? Raise your hand if you're married. Raise your hand if you've ever been married. Raise your hand if you want to get married. Listen, you in a relationship? Let me tell you what's going to happen. When you get in a bickering fight, what happens? I don't care. We always blame it on the women, but men do it too. Bring up the past. You remember back in 1963? You called me fat. That hurt my feelings. I've been wounded ever since then. You know what you did? You just resurrected the spirit of a lie. You know what? You just invited the devil to come right into your marriage or right into your situation, right into your problem, and you said, okay, you're welcome in here now. Just stir hell up all over us. And look, I'm going to be the first to admit, it's hard for me to keep this mouth shut when she makes me mad. There ain't nobody in this room. Nobody. Nobody. Can make me madder than her. Nobody. Nobody. You hear me? I'm just doing a little marriage one-on-one right here. Nobody can make me madder than her. But guess what? Ain't nobody can make her mad as I can. Why? Because what has God has joined together, that no man put asunder. It's not about marriage. It's about unity. It's about two declaring over something done. We make it about things that ain't even about, because the enemy has lied to us, and then we start evaluating ourselves. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Well, hear me today. The day we got married, this girl right here was not perfect, but she was way further perfect than me. She didn't have the past I had. She didn't have the scars and the wounds that I created myself. I'm not. But when I reached for the door to open the back door to go into the church that day, the enemy showed up and he said, "You're about to destroy this girl's life." Because he knew if we ever said, I do, it was on. Because we was going to produce some world changers called children. And we were going to change the world around us. And we were going to... Has it been easy? Not no, but you know what? No. It ain't been easy. There's been hard times. There's been difficult times. There's been times I said, I'm not getting a divorce, but I'm going to kill you any minute right now. Don't look at me like that. You thought the same thing. But here's what I know. Only reason those times ever come up because the Lord's, because the devil knew if they ever unify. And Jason, I'm going to pick up on that, what you were saying. Well, this whole thing is about the unity of the body of Christ. And if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If we believe the lies of the enemy and think we're out, we don't have it, we don't have what it takes, then he's already separated us from the body. I'm telling those lies today, you've got to go out of this house. You're appointed for this season. You're appointed for this time. God's marked you for purpose. He's already called you great. He's already called you awesome. He's already said, this is my son or my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And that's all you need to hear. That's all you need to hear. Well, what if I mess up? Well, join the club. Good word, girl. And so when we mess up, we start striving to please God. Okay, I gotta regain this. I'm looking at the Monopoly board. I gotta go around. I do not collect $200 and start over again. Gotta go back to the day, the first day. I gotta redo this. And he just says, look, if you just recognize who you are, I'll just put you right back where you fell off at. That's right. Come on. I don't even know if he does that. He may advance you because you learn something from that place. I feel things breaking in the spirit from the very first song. I felt like shackles falling off. I felt freedom. I felt unity. I felt a breaking forth in the spirit. I felt lives being transformed. I felt people's lives, just God showing people who they are. I saw him rearranging things. Just right now in the spirit, I see God rearranging things in your life. Where your house has been messed up, where there's been things out of order, when there's been dust from past and things that are rusty and corroded from the things that people have said to you. He said, I'm making all things new right now in the spirit. I'm cleaning the dust off. I'm taking out the rust. I'm taking out the pain. I'm removing all of those things and I'm making you new right now in the spirit. And you don't have to work for it. I want you just receive. In many countries, in many religions, I remember years ago a missionary coming and showing us a film. I want to believe maybe it was in, I don't remember what country it was in, but they were trying to get into the church, and they were walking on glass, and they were bleeding, and they were crawling through broken glass. And we look at that and we go, oh, that's terrible. But you crawl through things that you don't have to crawl through because the devil's lied to you. That's far worse than glass. They're past. I want to say this today. I've not been a perfect guy. I won't be a perfect guy tomorrow. But I am forgiven. Amen. I am made whole. Sins past and tomorrow, I am made whole. I don't have to crawl in the past to get to my future.
That's right.
It's gone. I'm speaking to some things in the spirit world today. I'm just telling the devil, you're not going to have this house. Amen. You're not going to have this people. They're going to walk in freedom and the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. I'm going to loose them to do the things that God's called them to do. Ha ha. In the name of Jesus. Freedom to do everything God's called you to do. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the glory of God resting right there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of... Ooh. Yes, Lord. There's an anointing resting upon you this morning. Declare some things over your life today. God's about to take you to places that you've never been before. He's just waiting on your yes right now. Amen. He's waiting on your yes. Why don't y'all take that communion? Let's pass it down. It's on the end of the aisle, that little bowl. Thank you, Heather. We're just about done. Thank you for staying up here. See, the enemy wants to make us feel unworthy of the blood and the body. Listen, I've been in communion services where I felt like I couldn't even partake of the communion because I was guilted into shame.
That's right. Guilted into shame.
If it was took perfection for me to partake of the body, then none of us could take it. Right? The scripture tells us to examine ourselves. When it says examine, it don't mean to examine in the critical spirit. It says to examine so that we could know that who we are, sons and daughters of God. We could say, hey, it's because of your body that I'm free. It's because of your blood that I'm made whole. The Apostle Paul said, there's no good thing in me. Not anything. Let me help you just real quick to understand who the Apostle Paul was. He was a certified terrorist to the Christians of that day. Ordained by the government to destroy Christians, to behead them, to kill them. And with our carnal mindset, we would say, well, then he should die. He's against the church. But God didn't look at him that way. He looked at him as a son. He said, so I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to have an encounter with him. And when the enemy says he wants to kill you, God says, I want to have an encounter with you. Somebody ought to just grab a hold of that right there. When the enemy says you're not good enough, God says, I want to have an encounter with you. The scripture tells us that every time we do this in remembrance of the cross and of the broken body of Christ for all of us. He was broken for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we're declared healed. Sin has to go. Sickness has to go. Because Jesus saves. Somebody feeling what I'm feeling this morning? There are things happening in the spirit realm right now that are changing the atmosphere. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go home today and your house is going to be different. I'm telling you. Because this is not a church thing. This is a God thing. And what we're speaking in the spirit right now is changing the atmosphere. You can embrace it and walk in it. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going home to. You're going home to the work of the Holy Spirit. So he said that every time that we take of this bread, do it in remembrance of me. I want you to just pray right now. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, so much that you loved us with such incredible love, that you gave your son to die on the cross for us so that we may have life and we may have that life more abundantly. You sent your son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. And Lord, I just cast off all condemnation right now in the name of Jesus. We invite conviction in our life because, God, we want to be aligned to your perfect will, but we cast off condemnation. We cast off guilt. We cast off fear. We remove every doubt. And we say, the body of Christ was broken for me. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. In Jesus' name, partake of the body. Father, we thank you for the blood. Oh, we can't say enough today about the blood. The blood that heals our body. That restores. That breaks off the curse of the enemy. Every generational curse is broken because it can't cross through the blood. Sickness and disease is broken because it can't cross through the blood. The blood of Jesus heals mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, all of it. You're the healer, God. The blood saves. The blood sets free. The blood helps us to walk in victory. We thank you for the blood of Jesus today. Your grace is enough. Your salvation, our salvation is because of your blood, the spotless lamb. And we thank you for that today. We give praise to you in Jesus' name. Let's drink of the blood. Why don't you just thank God today? Why don't you just give the Lord praise out of your own heart, out of your own mouth, out of your own, in your own way? Why don't you just thank Him for what He's done in this place today? Thank you for what He's doing in your life.